This is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield from The Lynn Group. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Michael provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield.
Hi, everyone.
I was going to do it.
I thought you told me to do it.
We drew straws. Mine was longer. The short one doesn't get it.
Okay, you go ahead.
No, you do it.
Okay.
No, you do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield, and I'm Tana Pennington. We have a lot to talk about. I'm actually really excited. We've got some charts to look at. First, let's start off with the Feds had their meeting recently. So we did get a pause on our interest rate increase. So that was good news. I know that was good news, but looks like we'll witness a fourth quarter increase, maybe by about 0.25%.
Well, so that's the threat.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. At least we got a pause. Let's see. You were going next. You were going to talk about the shutdown.
We never, for clarity, we never prepare meetings.
I know. I'm sorry.
Stuff to talk about. And this is like the first time where I'm like, hey, why don't I do this and you do that and I'll do this. And this is like, look how tore up this is. It's
we're incredible. Better just doing it impromptu. Yeah.
No, but Tana's right. So the Fed's just paused. So that's relevant. They're threatening doing another quarter point increase. So that's what's funny about Fed rate meetings is everybody's already kind of guessed what's going to happen in the meeting. What everyone's concerned about is then what is the rhetoric and the language and the information that they're going to provide in that meeting for direction. And so Tana brought up good point number one. Obviously, they didn't raise rates. And then point number two was, you know, there's probably going to be this increase. We think another quarter point is the guessing game at the moment. And then the third part of the show that Tana had pointed out to me before the meeting, before we recorded, was that they're also talking about cutting rates, right? And so one of the things that we've showed everybody in the past is the CME group is a place where they aggregate bond trader data. So smart people who deal with hedge funds and big institutional assets have the ability to come in here and kind of put where their opinion is. So these are people that have dealt with the trading side of what the Fed's doing inside of the markets. And so here we are sitting on the screen on the November 1st meeting. So that's just coming up in a month here. And what we can see is at the moment, there's a 70% chance that the Feds are going to keep rates right where they are, 5.25%. There's a 30% chance they're going to raise it 0.25%. So that's kind of where everybody's betting at the moment. Obviously, we're still leaning towards the hold. The hold, what's the data going to say? What's the Fed going to do? You know, I mean, we had the the unemployment rate creep up a little bit. Is that something that can appease the Fed? What are all these things that we're going to look at? You go to December. Math starts to change a little bit. By December, there's only not much more than a 50% chance that the Feds are holding rates where they currently are. And that means there's almost a 50% chance that they've raised rates by at least 0.25%. You go to January, you know, still kind of a 50-ish percent chance that rates have stayed the same. Obviously, nobody on planet Earth is betting the Feds are cutting. We're not seeing any projections of rates going down just yet. Mm-hmm. Which means that other 50% is looking at either 0.25 or 0.5 points higher. So, you know, something's going to happen. So let me fast forward because this is boring. I could go through all of these, but I think for giggles, what we're curious about is where is the industry? Where is the Reddit? What are people thinking right now? Because obviously this has an impact on a lot of things. You know, one of those things that's paying phenomenally right now is Tana's earning like 5% on her cash at her bank account. She's not dumb enough to bank at Bank of America or Wells Fargo or something, right? She actually puts the money where she earns interest. But by mid next year, like here I am sitting on June at the moment. And in June, kind of when you look at it, there's only about a 20% probability that rates are higher from where they are now. And there's an 80% probability that they're going to be the same as where they are or lower, right? Mm-hmm. We can start to see these lower tables starting to introduce here, you know, There's a 10% chance. Oh, sorry, getting phone calls. There's a 10% chance that, you know, rates could go down a 0.5% from where they are right now. Go to July. You know, math only changes more. There's only a 12% chance at the moment that the Fed's going to have a higher rate than where it is right now, which means by next July, everybody's really betting that the rate cuts have kicked in by September.
Right.
It's just more so. Now, we know something. The further out you go, the scammier this gets, right? Nobody knows what's going to happen in a year because all of this is data dependent on what the Federal Reserve is going to do. So we know that in close proximity, these are very accurate, but over 6-12 months, people are just best guessing on the way that they're projecting how the data is going to lay out economically in the United States and how that's going to govern the Fed's decisions. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the year, I brought up a lot of politics with this. Honestly, I'm surprised from a political standpoint that people would think that the Feds would wait so long, because I think from a political standpoint, I could see them cutting earlier in 2024 to try to attempt to get the market juiced a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So that
that's
way,
a good point.
Certain politics play out certain ways for certain people. Woohoo! So very interesting, but just one of those things. So where Tana stepped all over my toes is
I'm sorry.
We just had a big weekend, right? Threats of the government shutdown coming, you know, on September 30th, boom, it's all over. The end is near. No one gets their social security and you can't go visit the Statue of Liberty and all these horrific things were going to happen. As usual. And it's interesting, like when you look at cyclicality of markets, right? September's been a terrible month in the stock market, right? It's gone down. It's been super pouty. And when you look at it, it overlays with a lot of things that are very cyclical. September always is kind of a weird, funky month. So is October. But guess what? September is the end of the third quarter. You know, we mandate that investment companies every 3 months report to us how wonderful they're doing, right? We have to do all these quarterly earnings. And so at the end of the third quarter, it's very common that you see a lot of weird money shifting around and people selling things and rejiggering their statements and doing everything they got to do to make their earnings look good. So naturally, the market gets a little wonky. So that doesn't surprise us. You then overlay it with the idea of social anxiety, social contagion, of this big shutdown coming. It's been all over the news. People have been talking about how horrific it's going to be for everybody. You know, and so oftentimes the way investor behavior goes is if you think the market's going to be bad, it kind of becomes bad because you panic and start selling stuff because you think it's going to be bad. So there's that. So I think to that degree, I'm unexcited by why the market went down. I'm more focused on kind of historical relevance of markets. So one of the things that's super interesting is when you look at the history of the stock market, when the stock market on average is up 15% in the first half of the year, statistically, the third quarter is garbage. Oh, my gosh. Is history already repeating itself? The market was up a lot in the first half. The third quarter was real garbagey and junky. What? This can't be true. How can history repeat itself? Well, what happens is statistically, when those two events happen, on average, the fourth quarter of the S&P 500 is up about 4.5%. So I think there's some rationale. I think earnings are going to be a little better in the third quarter. I think this GDP, surprisingly, is coming out pretty high. So we're going to be able to talk about some economic data in the next few weeks. But, you know, we're advocates that the stock market's probably going to go up in the fourth quarter, barring the usual, implosion of crisis. You know, if the next COVID variant hits and turns us all into zombies, that could be problematic for this. But other than that, Tana thinks the S&P is going to finish the year somewhere between 4,500 and 4,600. So go ahead and write that on your whiteboard, little whiteboard on your fridge. Tana said
vision
this,
board.
And that way... That's probably
where all my dreams come true.
The best case. But to that degree, you know, we think that there's a lot of positive upside in the market for the moment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of the things we all lose sight on is how markets work, right? We want the market to go down mentally because we think everything is bad. That's just kind of how it is. I talk to clients all the time. You know, things don't feel good, therefore. And the way it works is the stock market leads earnings, leads the economy. Do not forget this, everybody, because this will screw up your ability to properly invest your money. Let's think about it. what was happening when the stock market started rolling over in the end of 2021? The economy was opening back up. Jobs were being created. COVID, in a sense, was over. Mm-hmm. Everything was booming on all cylinders. People were spending all their money and buying electric bikes and all this fun stuff. Yet the stock market decided to roll over and have the worst bear market correction in 15 years. And then halfway through 2022, what happened? We had all these high earning estimates in the beginning of 2022, end of 2021. Oh, this is going to be another great year. The S&P is going to 5,300. All of these things were said in the beginning of the year. Stock market starts to roll over. Oh, lo and behold, later in 2022, all of a sudden, all the projections and things of earnings started to collapse and go down. And then you fast forward to now, and now we suddenly have all this weird hanky economic data, people going into debt, wages underperforming, inflation, you know, pick your poison. You know, the housing market has stalled out, all of this stuff. And so we don't want to lose sight of that. I mean, another great example of this would be look at 2008. Stock market crashed in 08. Stock market started going back in April of 09. But the housing market, the economic factor that what roiled the stock market, didn't really bottom out and finish imploding until 2010. The stock market was already going back up. Stock market leads earnings, leads the economy. So stock market already crashed, earnings already crashed, economy now sucks. So what's going to happen next? Well, history says the stock market will go up while the economy still feels really sour. It's a leading indicator. So to that degree, we want to try to be optimistic over the next couple of years of how things might look. We're going to have a lot of chaos, I think, politically next year. So buckle up, wear a football helmet around town. Just don't put a bumper sticker on it of who you'd vote for, because, well, maybe that's fine if you have the football helmet on. That way, as you get punched in the head by everybody, you know, you got protection. Tana, you were going to bring up the most important thing.
Yeah, you know, this is good news. So 2023, we did get a really great COLA. It was 8.7%. Woo! So for 2024, they're projecting it's not obviously as high as an 8.7% increase, but around 3.2%. So that could be about another $55, $60 per month for your check.
That's fantastic.
Something. Right?
Yeah, percent.
Absolutely.
You know, that's so funny. Like a month ago, I always use the 76 station on the corner of Victoria as like life's bellwether, just because I drive by it every day, you know, and like, and I always look at premium gas. Look, I'm using 87 and we're all on budget right now, but I always look at the premium price just for giggles. And, you know, a month ago, that thing was, you know, I don't know, low sixes or something. And last week it hit 719.
Wow. Oh, that's so painful.
So hopefully that, you know, creatively calculated 3.2% COLA really feels good in January when you get it. You know, don't think that they don't figure out how to cook the books on that stuff.
Exactly.
And that's the funny thing is people say, well, yeah, but you got this giant 9% one last year. Okay, but what was inflation really? You know, I mean, yeah, 9% sounds huge, but you know, when eggs had a 50% COLA and gas had 100% COLA and your utility bills, remember like last year, like, or no, this year in January, like my natural gas bill used to always be 30 bucks. And all of a sudden in January is $180. And
like, what happened?
We must be doing a lot more laundry at the Mansfield house. So now because of that, my children have to wear dirty clothes.
No.
It's just it's sour. So anyways, look, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. It's already been long enough. This was too long of a video for people to want to listen to us rant about. If you have questions, give us a call. 805-500-7035, 805-500-7035. Visit our main website, thelindgroup.com. And everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Wealth Puzzle. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Michael Mansfield at The Lind Group. Call 805-500-7035 or visit them online at thelindgroup.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by the Lynn Group Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of California. Insurance products and services are offered through the Lynn Group, LLC. The Lynn Group, LLC and the Lynn Group Advisors, LLC are not affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.